Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
I hope you have your Bible today. If you do, let's make our confession of faith together. Those of you at home, join it with us. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I will not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Give a shout of victory, would you? Father, we thank you for the victory today. Well, open your Bible with me, if you would, to the book of Joel, Joel chapter 3. The book of Joel in the Old Testament, chapter 3. We're in a series on how to make right decisions. That's so important, isn't it? We make decisions every day. Some of us have some huge decisions to make this coming week. And so we're spending all month long on how to make right decisions. There's a wrong way and there's a right way. Many of us, we have been there, done that, got the t-shirt and done it the wrong way, right? But you and I, we want to learn how, get a skill set, some tools that will help us to make right decisions. Now, at the end of this month, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, we should make better decisions. Now, we're still going to make wrong decisions, but we're only going to make less of wrong decisions. Only going to make less. You know, we're not perfect. We haven't arrived. And, you know, we're going to miss it, but we're going to miss it less in Jesus' name. Because we're training our spirit. We're getting a skill set. We're getting some tools on how to make right decisions. Why is it so important? If you're a note taker, because decisions, it determines the direction of my life. Decisions determine the direction of my life. And the direction of my life determines my destination. So say it with me, decision, direction, destiny. One more time. It sounds so good. Decision, direction, destiny. 36 years ago, Kim and I, we made the decision to be in the center of God's will. 36 years ago, in a park in a small town in Iowa, we made the decision to come to St. Louis and plant this church. Now, at that time, we had three other options. We had three other opportunities of people in different communities all over America that wanted us to come and plant a church. But we prayed and we fasted and we sought God's will and we committed our life and we asked Him to direct our steps. Yeah. And we felt led by the Holy Spirit to come here and plant a church. So that decision headed us in the direction of St. Louis. And if we follow the right road to the yellow brick road, we landed up in our destination, St. Louis. And we've been here and we love St. Louis. Go Blues. We love St. Louis, by the way. Amen. And we've been here for 36 years. And God told us, one place, one life, make it great. One place, one life, make it great. That's what He told us 36 years ago. So I'm here today because of a decision, like as you are as well, right? You made the decision to make this church your church family. So you drive whatever road to get you here, the direction, so you can land and be at church with your church family. Y'all see the analogy? So there's a right way and there's a wrong way. And we looked at some wrong ways and some right ways last weekend. We're going to do it again today. We did it last night. But here's a wrong way. Have you ever heard anybody do this? I heard of somebody doing this the other day. They wanted to make some investments. They wanted to make some money. And so they just went to the Bible. They were a young Christian. They loved the Lord. They wanted to do right. I heard this story, and they just said, okay, God, guide me. I want to make some investments. So wherever the Bible falls open to, God, just guide me. So they flopped their Bible open, and they put their finger right there, and they opened their eyes, and it said wheat, wheat. So they said, okay, I'm going to invest in some wheat stock. So they did, and they made some money. And then, you know, it kind of ran its course. So they went back to God again for guidance, for direction, to make the right decision. Said, okay, God, you know, guide me now. And they opened their Bible, flopped open. They put their finger, and when they opened their eyes, their finger was on the word oil. So this is the wrong way to do it, by the way, church. And so oil. And so they said, okay, I'm going to invest in some oil. And so they invested in oil wells, and it made a little bit of money. Then it ran its course. And then things happened, and they lost everything that they had gained. So they went back and said, God, I need to make a decision. God, I need guidance. And so they opened their Bible open again, flopped it open, and they put their finger on the page, opened their eyes, and it said chapter 11. That's the wrong way to get guidance from God for decision-making. Yeah? The wrong way to make decisions is when you're angry, when you're tired, when you're weary, when you're frustrated. The wrong way to make the right decision is under pressure. I gave you an illustration of my car investment of a Dodge Demon last weekend, okay? And so the wrong way to do it is late at night, under pressure. Don't go by your feelings. Don't go by your emotions. Don't go by popular opinion. Those are all the wrong ways, right? Don't do it in a hurry. Don't look for those quick, rich screams, because they're usually all going to end up in chapter 11. Are you with me, family? So it's important then that you and I, that we understand how to make wrong decisions so we won't make them, and then have a skill set to make right decisions so we'll make the right ones, the best ones. Because our decisions determine the direction of our life, and the direction that we're headed determines our destination, where we're going to land. And you and I want to be in the center of God's will. We want God's best. We don't want anything less than God's best. So to have God's best, we've got to make the best decision. And to make the best decision, we have to be the best version of ourselves. I hope you understand what I just said right there. It's huge. So we're looking at it. We looked at several things. Last week, I gave you 3 or 4 points. I'm going to do that again today. But let me give you another story so we can relate some more, okay? Years ago, a couple decades ago, my mother was still alive. She's in heaven now. But I got this idea. I wanted to make some investment. We're from Iowa. My family are farmers. Kim's family were farmers. And so I got this idea that I was going to buy some farmland, and then I would hire a farmer to farm it, and I'd get money off the crops. So, you know, I found out that where my mother was born, the farm she was born on, raised up on in southern Iowa, was up for sale. The farmland, it had several acres. Now, the buildings were wrecked. Nobody had lived there for years. The barn was falling down. The house was falling down. But I thought, how cool that would be to buy my, and leave it as a legacy, and buy the farm that my mother was born on, she was raised up on, and I would love to do that. So I went to southern Iowa. I took my mother. I took Kim along with me, and we went down to look at the farm. It was beautiful, rolling hills, corn, a pond. Oh, it was awesome. I was just so excited about it. And the real estate agent was a close friend of my aunt. And so he took us out. He showed it to us. And I was all excited about it. But then I had some friends around me tell me, no, it's a bad deal. Don't do it. You know, you shouldn't this, that, and the other, whatever. But on the inside, something on the inside was telling me, Dave, you need to do this. But yet I didn't. I listened to some friends who met well. But by listening to them, guess what? I didn't purchase the farm. I didn't purchase the beautiful rolling hills and the cornfields and the pond and the buildings that were there. I was going to redo some of them. And then, like I said, I was going to lease it out to a farmer, let him farm it, and I make some money off the crops. And I didn't do that. And now today, that piece of property has tripled. That's what I said. Shazam. Now, you've probably never made any bad choices like that, right? Bad decisions like that. But see, I blew it there by not listening to that inward voice. And I listened to what friends around me said, why not to? So, you know, we've all missed it. We've all fallen short. But here's the good news. Here's what I found out from the Bible. If we'll commit our life to God, and by the way, the word decision, if you look it up in the dictionary, a synonym for that is commit. Commit. So if we'll make the decision to follow God, if we'll commit our life to God, I believe He takes all of our bad decisions and will turn them around for our good. I believe that what the canker worm and the locust stole from us, God will restore back to us, right? I believe the Bible teaches me that if the thief is caught, he has to restore back to you and me seven times. That's all Bible, by the way, church. So the good news is Romans 8 says that God will take all things. Now, God's not doing all things, but God will take all things. That means my bad decisions that I made under pressure, popular opinion, out of fear, out of panic, in a hurry, late at night, followed a trend, bent to the culture, all those bad decisions that I made, if I commit my life, give my life, decide to follow Christ, He'll take them and He'll turn them around for my good. He'll use them for the good. The Bible says that He even takes the wicked and will use them to carry out God's purpose in your life. Doesn't the Bible say the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just? How many just people do I have here today? One, two. Didn't the Bible say that there's going to be a wealth transfer in the last days? It does say that. There's going to be a wealth transfer. Now, they're not just going to come and drop it on your front door, but God's going to give you ideas. God's going to give you innovation and creativity and wise choices and great investments, right? Amen. So I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? Amen. So let's look at some scriptures today. Then I'm going to give you some skills, and then we're just going to go out and change the world together. Okay? So let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, another word for trust is faith, right? Trust and faith are the same words in the Bible. So notice, I can't make godly choices. I don't want to make a good one. I want to make a godly one. I don't want to make a good one. I want to make a godly one. Because God's ways are higher and better than our ways. So to do that, I've got to be in faith. Are you following me, church? So to follow God, I've got to be in faith. Think about this now. What's the scenario? To follow God, I've got to be in faith. To be led by God, I've got to be in faith. So if I'm not speaking faith, I'm not going to be led by God. If I'm not speaking faith, I'm not going to make the right decisions to follow after His leading. In other words, what's that look like? I can't talk doubt, fear, lack, depression, negativity, and make godly decisions at the same time. I can't be cursing and expect God to bless me at the same time. I can't be saying, I never hear God. I always miss it. I always make wrong decisions. I fail all the time. I just feel like a failure. I feel like quitting and giving up and never trying again. If I'm talking that way, I'm not in faith. And if I'm not in faith, I can't hear what He wants to say to me to make the right choice. Y'all with me? Okay, so trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend upon your understanding, or could we put in there your head? Your head. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend upon your head. So I've got to make a decision. I'm not going to be led by my head. I'm not going to be led by my head. Now I'm going to use my head to get the facts. We need to get the facts before we make a decision. I'm going to use my head, but I'm not going to be led by my head. So he says here, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That doesn't mean your physical organ. That means your spirit man. That means the inner you, the inner man, the real you. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your head. And what will be the result? Verse 6, seek his will. Seek to be in the center of God's will in all your decisions, all that you do, and he will show you the best path to take. He'll show you the best decision to make. Isn't that wonderful? Now, for God to show us the best decision, for the best direction, for his destiny, for God to show us his wisdom, his insight, his revelation to make the best decision, then you and I have to learn to be led by our heart and not our head. Now, if you're a note taker, this will change your life forever. Let me give you three things. The voice of your body, because our body speaks to us, right? The voice of your body is your feelings. And we're not to be led by our feelings. If I make a decision based on my feelings, I'll miss God. Because I'm not to be led by my head, I'm to be led by my heart. So the voice of your body is your feelings. Can we all agree with that? You know, Friday I did a CrossFit workout with Daniel, my son, my physical mentor, and he had me do 150 slammers with a 20-pound ball. That's 150. What you do is you take a 20-pound ball and you bounce it off the floor. You got to go below your knees and come back up. And I had to do that 150 times. Yay. Praise the Lord. Pray for your pastor. Amen. And I had to do that. And guess what? Saturday morning, I got up and my body was talking to me. It said, you need to go to Hawaii. You need to rest. You can minister. You can find a church to go minister. Right? But that would have not been God's will, because God's will was for me to be here with you this weekend right here. Okay? So notice that the voice of our body is our feelings. And if we do what we feel, you know, let it all hang out, we're going to miss God and make the wrong decisions. Right? Number two, the second part of us is our soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Now, the voice of your soul is your reasoning and your logic. If you and I base our decisions just on our reasoning and our logic, we'll miss God, and we will not make the best decision. 36 years ago, when Kim and I made the decision to come here, it wasn't logical. We were in a church of 1,000 people at that time. We had a retirement package. We were ordained in our denomination. We had the infrastructure. We had a path we were taking. Everything looked good. Everything looked great. We had a retirement insurance, a great salary, a large church, 1,000 people in that church. But God spoke to us to be in the center of his will was to come to St. Louis and plant a church. Now, our friends and our family who love us dearly said, that doesn't make sense. That's not logical. That's not reasonable. Now, here's what I found out walking with God for 50 years. Every time God asks you to do something, it will take faith, and it will always look like a risk. Amen. So notice then that if we're going to make the best decision, God's going to lead us with our heart and not our head. Now, the voice of our body is what? Our feelings. And if we do what we felt, none of us would have come here today. We all would have went on a picnic or a hike or fishing or hunting or Branson. Come on, somebody. But you and I didn't do what we felt like doing. We did the right thing. Right? Okay? So secondly, the second part of you and me to how to make right decisions, the best decisions, is our soul. That's our mind, our will, our emotions. So I never want to make big decisions when I'm emotionally unstable, depressed, worried, panicking, in fear. So I never want to make decisions based solely on my logic, based solely on just the facts. And I should get the facts. You and I should get, the Bible says in Proverbs, get all the facts before you make a decision. But I can't base my decision on that alone if I'm going to make a good decision. Am I communicating with you today? So number one, we have our body, and the voice of our body is our feelings. Number two, we have a soul, and that's our emotions, our mind, and our will. And the voice of that is our reasoning and our logic. But here's where we want to go. The third part of you and I is spirit. You and I are spirit beings. You and I are spirit beings, and the voice of our spirit is our conscience. The voice of our spirit is our conscience. You with me? The voice of our spirit. So what do we want to be looking for and listening to? Our conscience. Your conscience is the voice of your spirit. So that leads me to the tool set that I want to give you today. And let's look at it. Acts. Can we go there? The book of Acts 24:16. Here's the Apostle Paul. Would you look on the screen with me? And herein do I exercise myself to have always a what? Conscience. Now, what is the conscience? That's the voice of your human spirit. And that's where God talks to you. God is a spirit. And he's looking for those who will worship him in spirit. God's not talking to your head. You're renewing your mind in the Word of God. But God's talking to your spirit. And the voice of your spirit is not your feelings. It's not your reasoning. The voice of your spirit and my spirit is your conscience. Am I helping anybody today? Okay, on how to make good decisions. Herein do I exercise myself to have always, on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all day Saturday, a conscience void, watch, we're going to build on this now, void of being offended towards God or offended with another human being. Okay, now let's go in the Amplified Version, same verse. Therefore, I always, so notice I, someone said, we are the architect of our life. We are the architect of our life. And we are building our life one decision at a time. So he said, I decide, I always exercise, and I discipline myself, deadening my carnal affections, bodily appetite, worldly desire, in all respects, to have a what? Can you say it just a little louder for those at home? Clear. A clear conscience. A clear conscience. So notice, if God's talking to my heart, and the voice of my heart is my conscience, but if my conscience isn't clear and it's seared by being mad at God or people, I'll make the wrong decision. I'll say it this way. The condition of our heart determines the quality of our decisions. I'll say it this way. My dad told me when he was alive, Dave, don't ever make a big decision when you're angry or tired. Don't ever make a big decision when you're angry or tired. So God doesn't talk to my body. God doesn't talk to my head. When he wants to communicate to me, he's going to talk to my spirit. The spirit's going to bear witness with our spirit. Now, the voice of my spirit is not my feelings. It's not my logic. It's not my reasoning. It's not my rationale. Now, we need all of that. And thank God for feelings. You know, somebody said, how you doing? Oh, I'm on top of the ground today, so I'm doing good. You've heard that, right? In other words, he was not in the grave. He said, as long as I'm on top of the ground, I'm doing good. Thank God that we can feel, but we're not to be led by that if we're going to make the best decisions. Some days I don't feel married to Kim, but she reminds me I am. Come on, somebody. Some days I don't even feel saved. Thank you very much. I got two on a... Some days I don't even feel like a Christian. Some days I don't want to act like a Christian. But I am a Christian. Praise the Lord. So if I'm going to make right decisions, and they determine the direction of my life, and the direction of my life determines my destination, my destiny, then I've got to hear God's voice. And God's not going to talk to my body or my head, because he said, trust the Lord with all your heart. God's got, he's a spirit. We're spirits. He talks to your spirit. And the voice of your spirit is your conscience. Every time I say no to God, my conscience gets seared. Every time I say no to God, it's kind of like an onion with different layers. Every time God asks me to do something and I say no, it puts another layer on there, harder for me to hear him the next time. Boy, it's getting quiet now. Don't get quiet on me. This is good stuff. It helped me, right? Amen. So notice he said that I discipline myself. I want to have a clear conscience. Everybody say clear conscience. Now, what is a clear conscience? I've taught you that Scripture interprets Scripture. A clear conscience is somebody who's not mad at God or the church or the preacher, and somebody who's not mad at black people, white people, brown people, old people, young people. Come on. I mean, we live in a very racist society. You know, I was talking to a business owner the other day, and here's what he said. You know, I'm not going to tell you the exact thing he said, but he said, I won't hire certain people because they're just so lazy. They just don't do good work, and they're stealing all of our labor. What was he? Racist. What was he? Mad and angry. That's going to affect his business. That's going to affect his family and his home. I hope you understand at Church on the Rock, we're pioneers. I mean, there's nobody like us. You heard that teenage girl say she comes here and she's never judged. That's huge. To come to a church and feel safe and loved and accepted and welcomed, no matter what I've done, no matter the color of my skin, or no matter my age. Isn't that precious? That's a precious thing. I thank God for you. I thank God for you. So notice God talks to our heart. Your heart is your spirit. The voice of your spirit is your conscience. And Paul said he works every day. I always discipline myself to keep a clear conscience. Why? So we can hear God's voice and make the right choice. You with me, family? So does that make sense to everybody? How many people do you know? I mean, someone told me today at church, they said, you know, so-and-so is coming back to church. I said, well, that's wonderful. Yeah, they said they wanted to repent because they've been talking bad about other people in our church. Well, praise God for that. Really, that's self-awareness. They recognized it. They repented. I'm proud of them for that. But you see, they were living offended. How many, don't point to anybody, but how many Christians you know are mad at somebody? The greeter at Walmart. Some church, some preacher, some other Christian. And then they wonder why they're making bad decisions. Can't get out of debt. Family's a wreck. Can't get healed. You know, when it's God's will that you and I have the abundant life. Are we perfect? No. Will we make more bad decisions? Yes. But we're going to make less, right? Because we're going to discipline our human spirit and not allow ourselves to stay mad overnight. Okay? So as the team comes out, have a clear conscience, void of offense. How many people do you know who are blaming God for a family member who died, or they didn't get the job, or they didn't get the deal, or their mate walked out on them, or the church was bad to them, and they're mad at God, or they're mad at somebody else, or they're mad at a family member, or they're mad at a certain group of people in our society? No wonder God can't do what he wants to do in their life, because their conscience is seared. And every decision they're making is out of the will of God because their conscience isn't clear. Okay, now let me give you the skill set. Is that okay? And you might want to take a picture on your smart device. Guys are going to put it up for me. They did such a great job. Guys, can we put up these five skill sets at the end? So how to make the right decision. Number one, what is it, church? Put God first. And y'all are doing that today, and I'm so proud of you. And that's the most important decision we can make, right? Because that will determine where we're going to spend eternity. And there is a heaven, and there is a hell. And I want everybody to go to heaven. Number two, make him your, don't just open the Bible, let it fall, and your finger land. Judas hanged himself. Ooh, I don't like that one. So you open the Bible again. It says, go and do likewise. Oh, I don't like that again. No. Don't let, you know, my grandmother, who's in heaven, she had a neighbor when I was a little boy, first, second grade. Our parents would make us go spend 2 weeks every summer with our grandparents. Well, my grandmother had a friend that lived across town, and she would come over and she'd bring a Ouija board. Yeah, I'd never seen one of those things. We didn't have any like that in my house. But my grandmother's friend would bring that over. And as a little kid, folks, that's real. I mean, we put our hand above the little thing, not even touching it. We'd ask it questions, spell out stuff. It'd go do it. I saw this lady point to stuff in my grandmother's house and fly across the room. Devil's real, but God's realer. Excuse my English, all you English teachers. Amen. So we don't want to be led by a Ouija board, tarot cards, horoscope. Your life will be horrifying if you... Okay. And then number three is read scripture for guidance, because faith comes by... So if we need to make a decision, then read scriptures. I gave you some. Memorize them on God's guidance. Then number four is make a daily confession. I gave you an example of my own life. You can do your own, but I took scripture, and this morning at 5 o'clock, I'm in the shower, 5 a.m., and I'm praying over you. But before I do, I make my confessions. And I said this to God, God, order my steps today. God, order my steps today. God, I want to be at the right place at the right time. I want to be in the center of your will. God, order my thoughts today. God, order my words today. Just begin to make some confessions, because faith is released by saying it. And you're going to have to be in faith to hear God and make the right decisions. So then number five is, this is what we talked about today, protect or guard your heart. Because out of it flows the boundaries for your life. Guard your heart and keep a clear conscience. Amen? I'm done. Y'all get something from the Word? Give the Lord the praise, would you? Come on, let's praise Him. Amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.